Last week I had said to you guys that the Lord had given me a thing for topicals to help you guys begin to build your notebook into these realities, because moving into this apostolic phase, you guys are going to be leading the charge. Amen? And it would behoove you to begin to develop this notebook so that you can go back periodically and refer to this stuff, because the archives of everything that's going on with the webpage, everything's going to be looked at and changed to a way that it would be more conducive for us. Today's topic is spiritual growth. And as you're turning to 1 Peter 2, the topic of this message is Kingdom of Priests. As we're looking at where this is in the Scripture, last week I did an exhortation for the church to begin to start looking up to the horizon now. It's about time we begin to start looking at the greater possibilities, looking at getting through our foundations, making them things applicable to our lives. It's very important that we have those foundations laid in there. The bottom line in that exhortation is, are you a disciple of Christ or not? It's really what that exhortation is all about. Because you can sit in the church and you can fool yourself, but you can't fool the Father. He knows beyond shadow of a doubt, because He looks on the inside where we're only looking on the outside. Amen? So today is about spiritual growth. 1 Peter 2:9 is where we're going to start. 9 through 12. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just submit ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, give me the words that you would want to speak to your people today. And Father, give your people understanding how to take this next step, Lord, of growth that is required for all of us, God. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your kingdom expand. We want to see Williamstown and this whole world, God, come under your authority and dominion in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter is speaking here in verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you were not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us." We have an understanding of this scripture. But do we have a proper understanding to bring it into conformity, bring our lives into conformity as to what God is requiring of us? That is the question. Is our reality, we are the people of God, or are we still jettison that fact and saying that the Jews are the people of God? Scripture is very clear, and we have to begin to agree with God in everything that He says. We are the people of God, not the Jews. I don't care what they say. I know what the Bible says. Do we have an idea that is contrary, or does it conform to our priesthood understanding? A lot of us may understand that we're the people of God, but we don't understand that part of this alignment that is happening with us is that we are a priesthood. There may not be many priests within this locale that we live in, but if you begin to expand your mind and begin to expand the way that you look at things, you will begin to start looking at it from a world position, not a local position any longer. And the reason for that is that it's not just me and Irene and my family. This is Jesus and us together as a family of priests being formed into a holy nation, worldview. To be assembled for what purpose? And that's what we're going to talk about today. That purpose. We need to understand that this priesthood is greater than the elementary basics that we've been staying on. Those elementary basics of salvation, which is out of Hebrews 6, talking about the elements of baptism, of confession, of faith in God, you know, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. These are basics. Do you understand these basics? If you don't, go back to foundations. Go back. Be discipled. Be a pain in the butt in somebody. Say, I will not leave you until I understand what this means or what that means. It is that critical that you understand, because in a very short time, you are going to be those who are going to be discipling people who don't have any idea what this means. And if you don't know, God's going to hold you accountable for what you hold and teach someone else. And if you don't have the full understanding, and this is why it's so critical that what I've poured into the leaders, I have complete confidence that they're able to take the truth and put it into someone else's life. Every jot, every tittle, everything that's needed for the next one. In saying this, I must inform you that the Lord has an expectation on you. He expects you to grow up, and He expects you to multiply. That's His expectation. It's kind of like when He told the story of the parable of the seed, and He threw the seed out there. You know, and He said, you know, some fell in good soil, some fell in bad soil, some on rocky soil, some were just on top of the soil. And each produced something. What is it that you're producing? And it has to be more than just me and my four. It really does. It has to. You have to expand your thinking in such a way that, you know, like Dill, he's 13 years old, and he's probably like, well, what's God want to do in my life? Great things. Great things. But you have to avail yourself for those great things to happen. And that's true. Some people just have this idea that we're saved by grace, and it's this menial mindset that, oh, I praise God for that. Well, you should, but you got to go past the cross. And that's what we talked about Tuesday night, getting past the cross. You know, you repent when you fall down, God dusts you off, and we move on. He doesn't see the sin. The sin issue has been taken care of for us. But yet, what we have done is we've emphasized the cross so much so that we've forgotten what our job is as believers. And what we do is, well, that's pastor's responsibility. Or that's the deacon's responsibility. Or that's an elder's responsibility. What's your responsibility? Because my word says that each and every one of us is going to stand before the Lord and give an account to our lives. We were at a graduation party, and I was talking to a young woman that I hadn't seen in a few years, and we were talking about stuff, and she was getting so excited about what God was doing with us. And she says, I can see that you're not afraid to confront people. I said, it's not that I'm confronting them. I'm challenging them to be more than who they've been told that they are. Because the world does not want us to realize we're in charge. Not Charles. We're in charge. Jesus left this world in our stead. That's the fact. Jack? Okay, enough of that. But this apostolic move that we're beginning to enter into, and more of us are beginning to gain this revelation, because we're understanding that our part to play is just a job. We're no better than anyone else. We just have a function that we have to flow in, and we have to let that anointing take over. And you can't find it in just any church. Because what is happening is a group of believers are specifically asking God for this. And God says, that's my will. Have it. And if we run to churches, if we're still having that mindset of going to the church of what's happening now, we will miss. We will never grow up. We will never have roots planted in our lives. And we will never be effective for the kingdom of God. That's just the facts. Every time I transplant a plant, it's usually 2 years before I see any real growth in that plant. Why? Because I shock it and stun it from becoming more what it was supposed to be designed for. Now, in saying all this, that part of understanding the priesthood is understanding that we are required to be a holy people. We are required and expected to be a righteous people. What is holiness? What does that mean to you? What is your understanding of holiness? Holiness, in the very basic center, is that Christ has atoned our sin, and that sin issue is done. We live our lives every day as though we don't sin, but yet we do. Why? Because the blood of Christ covers us from all unrighteousness, and He doesn't see it. But when we make confession to Him that we messed up, He just goes, there, dust us off with the blood of Christ, and we move on. Righteousness, for us, if we're taking this next step, righteousness is more than right standing with God. It's having been aligned rightly through Jesus Christ to do His will. That's what righteousness is. Is my life aligning up with Him? In speech, in walk, in attitude, in heart, in service. And we should be asking the Holy Spirit, as a priest, we should be asking the Holy Spirit to continue to do the deeper works within us to get that selfishness and self-centeredness out of our lives so that they can see more of Jesus Christ. I know of an individual who is not here, but which is good because I'm not going to speak to embarrass that individual. But the individual took a job, and that job has been hell on earth for this person, to the point where this person has submitted a letter of resignation. They're leaving their job after, what, a month of abuse. And this person that is the employer says that they're Christian. And the story I hear is like, how can God and Satan simultaneously occupy the same place? It just can't be. But they're moving on in faith. They're believing God. And this person said to the employer said to this person when receiving this letter, said, "Oh, I thought you were called of God. You have a real strong calling because no matter what we did, you were never flustered. You always remain the same." And that's a testimony of Christ in that person. How about you? How about me? I'm in this boat with you guys. You know? I have the same struggles as you do. Attitudes and things, and pretty soon I'm going to be dropping off an anchor, and it's going off by itself. There's no rope tied to my ankle with this thing. I'm moving on with God. And that improvement of that stress that's there is no longer going to be a concern for me. This brings us to another place. If we are a holy priesthood and lovers of God, then the world must be a God hater. The world hates God. And that's true. There are people in this world, as hard as it is to believe, and we were those people too, that hate God. These people look down at us. They look down at people of faith. They resent us. They want to control us. They want to shun us to an obscure position. Because what they want to tout is their divinity. Their God is human secularism. Their God is bringing in a social organization in which we have one world government, one world economic system, one world religious system. All paths lead to heaven. I beg to differ. These people are trying to indoctrinate our children with a perverted sense of a worldview that is anti-God. They do not believe in moral absolutes. They do not believe they're accountable to anyone but their elitist peers. They believe that they can subject the people of God to their wishes. And if not, they will eliminate us. I'm here to tell you that as you stand up in your place, as you begin to expand your world vision and open your mouth and share what God is doing and what God is saying, they are so intolerant of us that they will think that we are agitating them, when the fact of the matter is we have an agenda. We have a mandate from heaven that must be done no matter what it costs us, even our lives. Okay? They will resort to name-calling. They will call us intolerant. They will call us ignorant. They will call us homophobic. They will call us whatever wording that they want. They will call us that because they don't want to hear the truth, God's truth. They do not want to align up with His truth because He is the person who will hold the world accountable. And it is the church's responsibility to speak up for those who don't have a voice, for those who don't understand. And it will take tremendous spiritual strength on your part and my part to be steadfast in the storm that is coming. We are assembling together. We are going to go into a building, and God is going to give us more people. And because more people are coming, more responsibility is going to be put upon you. That is why it is important that you get your life ready yesterday. I've invested my life in the people who want the things of God. And some people just aren't going to have that privilege much longer. They won't have that time with Irene. Who needs a disciple? Who needs this? You do. Every one of us needs to be discipled. Because that's the way the Lord has designed it. I pour my life into some, you pour your life into some more, and we just keep pouring our lives in. As Christ pours into me, I pour into you, and on it goes. We know that this world does not want us to move forward. They want us to conform to the religious sanctum that they're trying to create. The way that you notice that there is this religious sanctum in there, or what I'll call is a religious spirit, is they want us to say the same thing. They want us to look like each other. They want us to dress a certain way. Why? Because that's a conformity of control that they want. And they don't want the Holy Spirit to be in control. They don't want what God wants. It's a little too spooky when the Holy Spirit starts taking over. People start falling all out in the power of God. People get healed. People start getting baptized in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. You know, visions happen. Angels are seen. Gold dust floats down out of the sky. Gold teeth come in. Feathers are all over the place. And on and on and on. And that's what we're in store for, guys. That's where we're going. All those manifestations of God's glory from heaven being put upon the earth. Can you imagine one day going into the building in streams, and we walk on wood, and by the end of the day, we have gold floors? It's not that far-fetched. As no one used to say, it's just brick, gold brick. Yeah. To him, you know, it's like us with asphalt. We think that's great, but gold, that's common with God. We have to tell people that there is an accounting. And that accounting is what the Bible refers to as sowing and reaping. What you sow in your life, eventually you're going to reap. Because what happens is the elitists are so short-sighted in their mindsets of things that if it doesn't work right now, they'll postpone it and continue to work on this thing until they get it. What they want, which is control. Or what I like to say is social slavery. They want to enslave all the masses. They want all of us to have equal pain. They want us all to be suffering together. Because misery does like comfort. When in the kingdom of God is when you make application and you are faithful in that application, God raises you up. He gives you more. He increases you. He blesses you. And that's what it's all about. As priests, we may not have a lot of world goods, but we have everything that God wants to give to us through Jesus Christ. It's learning how to access that and bringing it down, starting with us. Turn to Genesis 1:28. We talked about this Tuesday night. Are you aware that we have two great commissions that we are responsible for? Genesis 1:28. It's real simple. God said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, all the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the earth. He gave Adam and Eve a great commission over the whole earth. He gave them five things to do. One, be fruitful. Fruitful means to grow in godly character. Two, he told them to multiply, to increase numerically. Three, to replenish or to refill what was lacking with holiness and the glory of God. Subdue it. Bring it under delegated authority. And finally, to have dominion. To rule a territory. That's what he gave them to do. How well did they do this? True. You see, they couldn't get past the mindset that they were gardeners. They couldn't see the greater picture that they were kings of all that God gave to them. Okay? It's interesting that the word for dominion or rule is rada. It's a Hebrew word. It's used only 13 times in the Old Testament. And it means to have dominion. It means to rule. It means to act as a king. God gave them a kingdom with a jurisdiction. He gave them jurisdiction where? Over all the earth. Or the garden. Okay? And in this jurisdiction, he gave them power and authority. Power and authority was substitutionary. God delegated it to them, and they were to rule over everything, seen and unseen. But God delineated it in such a way to give us an understanding of what this meant. And we have to understand that the great commission that Jesus gave to the disciples falls exactly in line with what God commissioned Adam and Eve. Go. Make disciples. Baptize them. Start in Jerusalem. Cast out demons. Speak in new tongues. And nothing that the enemy throws against you will harm you. Two commissions, very similar in what has to happen. He gave it to the people of God from the beginning, and he gives it to the people of God halfway through, almost to the end. It's interesting that the Greek word for Lord, the Lord Jesus, we call him Lord, is Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, Kurios. And its meaning means supreme ruler. So when we talk about Jesus as Lord, Kurios, we've got to come out of this mindset that he's just a Lord. We're a little lower than the Lord. He is the Lord supreme. He is God Almighty, manifested in the flesh. Lived amongst men and did not see sin in his life. And atoned for us. And then gave back the kingdom to us. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Kurios. It's all his. He's supreme. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, as kings who served the supreme king, as I said last week, it was their responsibility to go and educate the conquered people, or the people in the territory that has been conquered. Who's the kings of this territory? We are. So what is our responsibility? It is to educate those, no one's with me, educate those outside that the king is coming and this is his will for you to come into his kingdom. He loves you. He conquers you. He will provide for you. If you are rebellious, you can live your life in rebellion. But when he comes, blood's not on me. I've told you. It's real interesting. Ezekiel says something very similar. He says, if you see the sword coming and you warn them and they don't do what you tell them, the blood's on them. But if you see the sword coming and you don't tell them, where is the blood going to lie? On us. Can you understand a little bit more now about our responsibility? Yeah, we're King of Kings and we're Lord of Lords. Yeah, yeah, you know, we're the little ones and he's the big one. Yeah, and we get all, there's a responsibility, church. There's benefits, but there are responsibilities. There is a mandate from the beginning that has been reiterated to today that the church of Jesus Christ needs to come to understand, and we need to come together and understand this. Well, you know what? I think that my faith in Jesus Christ is a private matter. I laugh at people like that. I really don't think that I should tell you what to believe. Poppycock. It is your responsibility to tell them the truth of what God has said. And if you are of that mindset not to tell them, that is an excuse that is perpetuated by a lie that has entered into the church, that only the fearful, only the fearful and disobedient embrace. That is not what God requires of us. His message transcends all our cultures. No matter where we come from, He wants us to have kingdom culture now. Not the world's culture. Well, you know, we just don't do that in our neighborhood. Well, what neighborhood do you live in? Oh, I live over here on 1999 Winslow Road, and we just behave like wild animals all the time. Well, the king has said that you're no longer to act and behave that way. Well, I don't believe it. Yeah. Okay. You've been told. Joshua put it this way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Tozer, A.W. Tozer wrote it this way. Everything is made to center upon the initial act of accepting Jesus Christ. A term, incidentally, that is not found in the scriptures. And yet, we're not expected to, after we do this, to crave any further revelation of God in our souls. And what he's saying there is, once we get saved, there's nothing more. We should be satisfied that we're saved. Are you satisfied? If you are, you need to go to safe church. This is an unsafe church for you. I am giving you your warning. There is so much more our Father wants us to have, and so much that He wants us to do. He sees the great possibilities in each of our lives if we would just embrace it. But what we do is we embrace the circumstances of our lives. We embrace the lives of our family members who don't know Jesus. We embrace the circumstances. We make decisions based contrary on our emotions, our circumstances, and our feelings, not on the Word of God. And we're wondering why nothing's going right for us. Are you the people of God or aren't you? Understand, righteousness and holiness. That's what we walk on. There is a war, an end time war that is amassing right now. The purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ is to confront the armies of Antichrist. Okay? And the armies of Antichrist are feeding our heads with so much garbage to confuse us, to cause us to shirk away from our responsibility, to become afraid. And the more we hear of this stuff, the more we want to kick the doors of hell in because we know it's a lie. We win. We're winners. Jesus Christ won the battle. And He wants to give us so much more. John 17, verses 14 through 18 says, I have given them your word. This is Jesus speaking to the Father. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You see, this job is greater than just me. I need you guys. I need you guys to grow up. I need you guys to stop running. away from what God is calling into your lives. I need you to embrace what He's calling into your life. I need it. You need it. Whether you understand it or not, you need it. We need to get involved in people's lives. We need to start telling them the truth. Not Bible thumping them. That doesn't work too well. When they see us coming, they run. I know, I've done that. Everything that could go wrong, I've done that. And I've learned in the last 10 years how to just relate. How to just relate to people. It's one thing to relate to people and be wrong. It's quite another to relate to people and truthfully love them and give them something that they need, something that they can think about, something that can change their lives. You see, it's God, through our obedience and our faithfulness, that's going to change them as we're being changed. They need to see the Word of God active in our lives. They need to see that we operate at a higher level. They need to see that good enough is not good enough anymore. Excellence is the level because it's for His glory. We got to learn to stop giving Him the leftovers or the left outs and give Him first. That's what it means to be a priest. 2 Corinthians 10, 13 and 14. You probably have read this 100 times, but never really given it thought. Paul says, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the spheres which God has appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ." Does anybody understand what he's saying here besides me? I take that as a no. Which is fine. I'm going to explain this scripture. But what really gets me is how, and I like to use the one brother's term from Banner Brothers, what fascinates me is how little we actually know the Word of God. How much study time we put into the Word of God, we are not able to put the pieces together. We can quote it left and right, upside down, backwards, forward, under, whatever. We can do it. But we have no spiritual understanding, no substance to what He's saying. God is saying here that He has given us power and authority to take dominion. Okay? What is power? The ability to wage war. What is authority? The right to use it. He's given that to us. For what purpose? Dominion. What is dominion? Man, Holly's a great student. It's the territory that you conquered, you operate in, and expand from. Now, He's given us a jurisdiction. Okay, a specific sphere that we're to operate from. Once we've conquered, and that conquered starts here with us. Okay? Now He wants that jurisdiction to expand. The neat thing is, this word jurisdiction is metron. It's a Greek word, metron. And it means a specific place of jurisdiction. Each of us has been given a special place of jurisdiction to start from. To start from. That starts with us. Our lives taking jurisdiction. We become responsible for ourselves. We begin to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Our prayer life is such a way that we begin to seek God to allow him to do the deeper work, and it expands outwardly. Okay? Can you see what Paul's saying here? He's saying that we didn't reach too far. We're still within our jurisdiction. We're still in this metron, whatever way you want to say it, of jurisdiction that God has given to him. Because we have the authority. We have that authority. You have that authority. It's not just pastor has the authority. I am bringing you in to a spiritual reality of your spiritual power, authority to take dominion further than what you think. And that's why it amazes me when people ask me, what can I do? Can I do this? Well, what has God said? What has God said for you to do? Well, I'm sure God didn't mumble or bumble around what he said. What has he said? Let me tell you what he has said. He expects, remember I said he has an expectancy on us. He expects you to drive out every antichrist demon, spirit, out of everything in your life, out of your family's life, out of your realm of authority. And once that is completed, he expects you to go into the next realm, which is your family, your friends, your place of employment. He expects you to drive that darkness out of there with the spirit of truth. That's what he expects. He expects you to take dominion over governments, over religious establishments, over the arts, over music, over everything that this world has to offer. He expects you to take dominion of it, to rule it in Jesus' name. That's what this scripture is talking about. So you can't overreach, but we sure do underreach or don't reach at all. Do we understand? He expects us to pull down every vain imagination, every false philosophy, every high-minded thought, everything that tries to exalt itself above Jesus Christ and the knowledge of him. He expects us to pull it down. Didn't he say that in, what is it, 2 Corinthians? Our weapons, our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in spirit. Designed to pull these things down. So when we send our kids off to school and they become more of a corrupt person than when we released them, we did them a disservice. We need to re-educate them and bring them back into the kingdom of God. Well, pastor, they're a free moral agent. Yeah, well, that's what prayer is all about. You see, we're stuck on this. Give me the words, Lord. We're stuck on intercessory prayer that prays for Susie's little toe, or Darren doesn't have a job, or this. Don't you think the Lord knows that? Don't you think he knows that? Don't you think he has a greater purpose for intercessory prayer? He does. But yet we want to insist, I have a mighty prayer life. I do that. You may. But it's not going to last in the apostolic. It will burn and fizzle out. Okay? What he wants us to do is begin to say, Father, how do I combat this religious spirit? How do I combat this elitist mindset? How do I do this? How can I bring this thing down? Because it is arguing a bunch of falsehoods and it's leading your people captive. How can I fight that? Are we praying like that? That's true intercessory prayer in this age that is coming. Okay? When I said to you guys, about 3 years ago, And I'm sorry, and I'm prophetic, but I try to warn you that if you don't have a prayer life, you need to get one. If you have a prayer life, you need to tune it up. Because this prayer life that you have now is not the one that's going to sustain this move of God. It's going to cost you even more of who you are and what you have. But I'm doing the will of God. You may be. You may be. I'm not saying you aren't. What I'm saying is, as a priest, as a royal nation, as a people of God, He expects us, as Isaiah says, they run over walls, they take the cities. Great is the mighty power of the army of the Lord. Great and mighty. Are you that army? We aren't there yet, but we're going to be. There's nothing that can stop us. Nothing. Not the activities of the Antichrist, not the God haters, not the elitists, not those who are fearful, not those who are dragging their feet, wanting the kingdom of God but not wanting to pay the price. Nothing is going to stop us. Our way of life should be kingdom first. Everything that we do is through the obedience of His word, to see the physical manifestation of His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. God has ordained you in Christ to take your place as the remnant. There's only a few that's going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. I want to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I want you to rule and reign with Jesus Christ with me. I don't want you to miss a beat. I don't want you to come up less than what God wants to give to you. And I want to see a double portion on you. That's the Father's heart. That's His heart. That's my heart. I want to see you guys do great and awesome things. I want you to go up there, and when somebody's preaching some baloney, Dan, you say to them, in the name of Jesus, be blinded for 6 months. And a cloud comes over them, and they can't see for 6 months. That's the power and authority that you have now. You just don't believe it. I'm trying to convince you that as you grow into this spiritually, this should be your normal life. You should be commanding them, not them telling you. It's kind of like the inmates are running the insane asylum. You are the answer. You are the answer to what this world needs. You are the answer that Jesus is looking to live His life through. Everything that He gives us is good and perfect. And it comes down from the Father above with love. Everything. This touchy-feely gospel that is going around here, it's enough to make me vomit. I want to see the power of God. I want to see people that are going down the street and all we hear is, I don't know why I come in here drunk as a skunk. But in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on him, gets knocked out by the power of God, stands right up, and is in their right mind for the first time in a long time. I want to see that. I don't want to hear about it. I want to be part of it. And we have. We've been touched by God. I mean, I remember one time with Nolan, get blown back 3-4 aisles back. You know, the power of God's coming down. Kimmy was there. She remembers. She went down because the power was mighty that day. That was God. Now it's your turn. Go do the same. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. As you've seen me do, now you go and do the same. As you've seen God use me, go and do the same. Don't be afraid. He's with us. You have the power. You have the authority. Now take the dominion. Take it. I don't care what they say. This is our planet. My Father owns this. He not only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, He owns the 1,000 hills that they feed upon. And He has given us metron jurisdiction over this planet. But it starts with us in taking our authority as priests, as a kingdom of priests, to take it up the next level, to begin to grab a hold of this thing, and really begin to start shaking the heavens. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word, God. I thank You that You have called us to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, that is they're going to sing out Your high praises, God. When we pray for somebody that's sick and they get healed and delivered, God, that we would go crazy. We would shout in the open air the awesomeness of You, Lord. Father, that as we preach Your gospel message, that You would fill it with signs and wonders to confirm that very truth that we are declaring upon the earth, God. That You are King and there is none other. That You have given us authority. We are the little kings. You are the supreme King. You have given us the responsibility to educate this world, God. To make it bow its knee to You, Lord. And then everything from education, philosophy, to sports, to whatever, God, must come under Your authority. Sickness must bow. Diseases must bow. Death must bow. That those that we've heard before, God, that have raised the dead, that have healed the sick, that have unconventional ways of being used by You, God, we want that today in Jesus' name. Father, as we go forward today, God, may Your Spirit stir our spirits in such a way, God, that we begin to act as like the kings that You have called us into being. Father, I thank You for Your word, for it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, God. I pray that it cuts through the spirit and the soul, God. It begins to eradicate, God, that junk that we fed on. The half-truths, God, that we've believed, God. Give us Your truth. Jesus said You have set us apart and have given us Your truth, God. Make that truth real to us in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.